Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
With its abundant natural beauty, charming towns, and friendly people, South Carolina offers the kind of discoveries that stay with you long after you've left. Like the realization you're good at something you never before tried. Or your first oyster roast, and a taste you didn't expect to love. And other times, it just hits. Like the view on a windswept Appalachian mountaintop. So come find the undiscovered you in South Carolina. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Upgrade your kitchen today with Clearview Cabinetry. We offer a great selection of finishes made with the finest materials and built to withstand life's sticky messes. They provide features like soft closed doors and drawers and with cabinet accessories to match your unique style. View our selection of Clearview Cabinetry on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello and welcome to this match day episode of Popping the Tyne. My name's Taylor Payne and it's FA Cup 5th round action as Man City are the visitors to St James's Park. Chris Wolf and Luke Edwards were on the ground for this one. Let's hear from them straight after the game.
Just walking out of St James's Park after seeing Newcastle United schooled, I think it's fair to say, for the final hour of that match as they lost 3-1 to Manchester City in the FA Cup 5th round. They are out of both domestic cup competitions now, having been knocked out both by the same opposition. And their most realistic chance of silverware is gone. Possibly their best route into Europe at this stage now, given that they're 12th in the Premier League, still 5 points behind Brentford in 7th and relying on other teams and making sure like someone like Man City would win the FA Cup to make sure there'd be more positions in the league for European positions. They're out of that. Luke, what's your sort of immediate reaction to the game as a whole, I suppose, and the sort of effect that defeat has on them?
A very, very sobering evening. Newcastle are outclassed. I mean, yeah, they started really well for half an hour. Newcastle were excellent. Really rattled City, knocked them out of their rhythm, but then there are levels to football. And I think what we saw today is just how big that gulf between Newcastle and the elite teams is and remains. And for me, the one overriding thought I had is this talk of Newcastle competing for league titles, Champions League, Premier League, being in the conversation for the best club in the world by 2030. It just looked delusional this evening because City are so far ahead of them.
Yeah, I mean, I get why you're going into sort of a bigger picture, but I think if just on the here and now and where we are in this season,
to go bigger in picture, Chris. I wanted to go bigger picture. Oh, you want to nail me down on the here and now? You want me to just talk about the game? Well, I'm sorry, Chris. I'm feeling a bit depressed, a bit deflated.
Well, I entirely get that, and I think that, I mean, I don't think tonight necessarily materially changes what we already knew about them. Maybe it does hammer home some of the shortcomings they have, certainly squad-wise. I mean, Man City make 10 changes and still manage to come out easy victors in the end. Newcastle make 4, but they're without some of their key players, a few of the players who you take out the key players. Obviously, no Bruno Guimaraes, who's still out and going to be out for another month or two. No Anthony Gordon in the starting 11. You would have thought, Cal mentioned an ankle problem, but I think partly the exertion of Wednesday night when they've played with 10 men for so long. Same with Joe Linton. He said that Joe Linton was too big of an injury risk to start. He'll have one eye on Barcelona on Tuesday, which he described as the biggest game in Newcastle's history coming up, which we'll discuss a little bit in depth.
Now you've gone down the bigger picture route. Come on, let's nail down the facts of the game, Chris. You got off on a tangent. What are you doing? I thought this nailed down the game, Chris. That's what you wanted from me. Now you're banging on about... what are you banging on about? Champions League games, injuries, key players missing?
Come on. I'm going big little picture of this one match, not talking ahead to 2030. But anyway, let's focus. As we said, Man City make 10 changes, Newcastle make 4.
Oh, God, Chris has almost broken his neck. Sorry, you didn't see that. It might not visibly come across on a podcast, but Chris has almost just broken his neck, having almost fallen down a flight of stairs. I shouldn't be laughing, but that was almost a podcast first of Chris breaking a bone on some stairs at St James's Park. Sorry, let's get focused.
Yeah, this has been quite chaotic so far. But anyway, so yeah, they make all those changes, and it was sort of trying to work out exactly how Newcastle were going to line up. Willa Sula had that wonderful woman come off the bench in midweek, starts up front. Nick Voldemarda continues in the midfield role, having been ill all week. I talked during the week about him having lost quite a lot of weight because he'd been ill. He had Harvey Barnes on the left, Alanga on the right, Willock was in midfield, and Botman comes in. And Newcastle started really well for that first half an hour, as you mentioned, and I thought that they did really well in transition. They looked to break quickly. John Stones looked like he was running in treacle at certain points. Newcastle really were stretching them, particularly Harvey Barnes looking dangerous down that side. Alanga was here, there and everywhere, not necessarily to a positive effect with the ball, but was certainly getting around the pitch a lot. Willock carried it reasonably well, and Newcastle took an 18th minute lead, and a deserved lead with Tonali. Well, it was actually Sven Botman played like a inside foot back heeled pass to Tonali, who then plays a really, really good ball to send Barnes in on the left hand side of the box. And having scored both goals in the win over Man City at St James's in November, he curls in beyond Trafford, and it was sort of just rewards for Newcastle's start.
Yeah, and Nick Voldemarda had a header cleared off the line as well. There were another couple of half chances. Asula probably should have done better when, I think, again, Tonali played him on. He got the ball stuck under his feet and didn't end up getting a shot away. So, yeah, for that opening spell, they really took the game to Manchester City. But then they just looked fatigued and they couldn't keep it up. And this has been a familiar theme of this season, is that they're playing so many games. As you said, they've got players out. And after half an hour, it just looked physically they blew up. And then once they did that, Manchester City just controlled the game, doing what, you know, Eddie Howe said it afterwards. They keep the ball so well. They made Newcastle run. They drained their legs even further. And then they just probed for openings and then sliced through them. And it was a brilliant display from Manchester City, but it just exposes familiar issues that Newcastle are having this season with this schedule. And they just don't have the depth of squad to be able to fight on four fronts. That they've tried. They've tried their best, and they're still in the Champions League, but the league form has suffered because of it. This just felt for some of those players after that monumental effort, like you said, against Manchester United, playing with 10 men for more than for the whole second half. I just think it took it out of them, and City exposed them, and the levels, like I said, every one of those supposed City second string players, maybe one or two exceptions, they would get into Newcastle's strongest 11.
I think that the thing for Newcastle is, as you say, for half an hour they're good, and they almost became their own worst enemy at the end of that first half as well. And whether that was to do with fatigue or a combination of a few factors, the sort of error-prone issues they've had defensively crept in, and they kept trying to play out from the back, kept giving it away, kept putting themselves under pressure, and it felt like the Man City equaliser was coming before it actually did. Savinho and Lewis Hall had quite a good battle down that flank. There'd been some times where Savinho had embarrassed Hall. There'd been other times where Hall had nicked the ball off him in front of Thomas Tuchel, the England manager, who was there watching on. And it's Savinho who scores the goal. Doku gets down the left to the byline, hits the ball across beyond Ramsdale, low cross. Lewis Hall, under slight pressure, under a bit of pressure from behind, fails to clear it. And then Savinho almost hits up. I mean, I don't even know if he deliberately puts it in or not.
No, I think he thought Hall was going to get it, didn't he? I mean, yeah. I think Hall had a bad game today. And as good a player as Lewis Hall is, I think if you go back over the goals that Newcastle have conceded recently, a lot of them Lewis Hall will be involved in, or not doing what he's supposed to be doing, caught out of position. So he had a tough evening today. That goal had been coming. That was the thing. Willa Sula had disappeared. I don't know where he'd gone. There was nobody up front to kind of chase the ball. He had dropped deep as well. He looked knackered.
Well, it's that, and this is not to dig him out too much because he hasn't played loads of football, but is he more of an impact sub than he is as a starter? I think the three games he started in the last few weeks, he hasn't really made that impact he had, certainly on Wednesday.
No, well, Aston Villa in the FA Cup, he started, he was poor. Carabag, again, started, was poor. And again, he flashed for 20 minutes at the start of the game when Newcastle were doing well. he was energetic and causing havoc and chaos, and but then he just faded badly and disappeared from the game. So they invited pressure and City punished them just before half-time. I thought half-time came at a good time, if that makes sense. I thought, well, they'll regroup, they'll re-energise, but they didn't.
You said you thought they'd regroup, they'd re-energise. I thought the same. I thought there may have even been changes at half-time because the midfield in the first half was an issue, because it felt like without, beyond Sandro Tonali, it felt like Newcastle were semi-anonymous in midfield. There were a few important interceptions from Willock. Baltimore did make a couple of important clearances and nicked the ball a couple of times at the back, but also Man City were just playing through and around them as well.
Yeah, and that theme just in the second half continued, didn't it? And City had their foot on their throats, and they weren't going to let them back up. And it just, they pinned Newcastle in at the start of the second half, and then the second goal comes. Voltimada gets passed through. That leads to a double team, an overload on that side with Lewis Hall. He can't cope with Savinho and O'Reilly at the same time. Was it Nunes?
Nunes.
And they just create the overload, and the cross comes in. It's almost a carbon copy, isn't it, the second goal? It's just the low cross finds its way to the far post, and Marmoush has got time to take a touch, incredibly, and then just smash it into the roof of the net. So
into an open goal, yeah.
Yeah. You know, you can ask questions about Ramsdale. Should Ramsdale cut them out? Both crosses are quite close to him. But we're nitpicking here. The better team won. The better team won by far.
But Omar Marmoush also, his second goal, Man City's third, was quite a special finish, but again, probably had too much room to be allowed to do that. But Omar Marmoush has this ridiculous record against Newcastle, 7 goals in 5 games, also scored here in the Carabao Cup earlier in the season, and half of the goals he scored for Man City since signing, 7 of the 14 have come against Newcastle.
Yeah, can I just... that's all very true. That's very much nailing down what happened in the game, drilling down. I just want to go slightly big picture again, if I may, Chris. Marmoush cost less than Johan Visser and Voltimada.
That's a bit of a damning statistic there. Yeah,
less money.
And he usually doesn't get a game in. Haaland wasn't even in the squad tonight, and this is a Man City team without Haaland.
Yep, Haaland was left at home because he wasn't needed.
I mean, Wissa came on, and this is, again, the game situation was very difficult for him, but again, didn't really offer anything. And Willa Sule being selected ahead of him, having come on ahead of him in midweek, still shows exactly where he's at as well.
Yeah, there is a pecking order of strikers, and you've got a £69 million centre-forward who's now playing in midfield, and you've got Willa Sula, who's now preferred to Johan Wissa, and Anthony Gordon, who is preferred to Johan Wissa. I don't want to write Johan Wissa off, because I think that injury did derail him really, really badly at the start of the season, but he has not offered any justification for the money spent on him so far.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
If you look at the stats at the end of the game, Man City have 63% possession. It just felt like they could have passed it how much they wanted. But the stats, so Newcastle have 11 shots on the end. I think they'd had 7 within the opening half an hour, but that just shows where the game gets to. I think Man City had 4 not on target during that period. In the end, Man City have 21 shots, 8 of them on target. And it did, that second half was just complete. I mean, Newcastle basically weren't in the game with it. There was a Joe Willock killed shot over the bar from inside the area, but beyond that, I mean, they just weren't in it.
Well, that was a big chance for Willock, actually, and that was at 2-1. I mean, that. If you're going to get anything against Man City in that sort of mood, you've got to score those chances. But again, Newcastle have lost a lot of games this season. There have been disappointing performances. There have been disappointing results. But I haven't seen them be outclassed like that by anyone apart from Man City in a long time. You go back, even when they played Arsenal and lost at the start of the season, it was a narrow, tight game, wasn't it? And they beat Man City at home in the league. But that was as big a whooping as I've seen Newcastle take for a long, long time.
No, I think I'd agree. And it's four defeats in five against Man City. They've faced four times in the last month or so, basically. Last 2 months. In the second half, I just want to touch upon one weird incident that was there because it came up afterwards, which is Pep Guardiola, who when Man City, I think it was at 3-1, definitely at 2-1.
Yeah.
Jeremy Doku gets beyond Trippier. He is then going to be running in towards the Newcastle. Well, the defence won't be there, but towards it just inside the Newcastle half. Trippier does pull him back. Botman manages to get back and then nick the ball, and the referee doesn't give a foul. Pep Guardiola absolutely loses his shit. I don't think there's any way of going beyond, explaining beyond that. He jumps up and down. He
throws his coat off. His designer jacket gets tossed off. He swears. It's right in front of us because obviously our press seats are right behind the dugout. He has his head on his hands. He's got spit flying in the air. He's screaming and shouting, complaining, screaming at the referee, screaming at the fourth official. He's absolutely lost it. It's incredible. And you're kind of looking at it thinking, yeah, you're going to get a yellow card for that. And then sure enough, the referee comes over. But it's actually what followed where I actually thought he was going to physically harm the fourth official. I mean, he glares at him, eyes are bulging, veins are throbbing. He looked like somebody who has just been thrown out of a nightclub and has asked the bouncer for a fight. I mean, I actually thought he was going to dangerously close to completely and utterly losing control. And he's now got a 2-game ban. And what does it say about a man that your team are winning away from home, dominating the game, and you lose the plot? And look, Pep, yes, you know, it was a foul. It was a foul. But, you know, if I may be so bold, pick your battles. I don't think it was really worth getting that angry about. And then, you know, while the rest of us are, you know, waiting for the result, you know, the conclusion of the charges against Manchester City, he waxed lyrical about perceived injustice and winning his titles despite everything going against him in his time in England. It was quite bizarre.
Listen, Jeremy Doku dribbled Trippier and go alone to the box and he's being pulled from behind. I'm not asking a yellow card, but please, it's fault. Or maybe except in this country, it's fault. And I will defend my team. And I tell you something, we have all the records in this country, all of them. Despite everything, we have all the records. And we have the record of managing more yellow cards. So always I wanted this record and now I have it. 2 games banned now because it's the second incident and now we go on holidays the next 2 days. Oh my God. Oh my God. There are things that are still after 10 years I cannot understand. Review the action. Of course I'm going to defend Doku and all my teams. They continue to do it. They can.
We spoke to Eddie Howe after the match and he basically said the better team won. And I thought he gave, at one stage in one of his answers, he seemed to say, went back to him with it because he described Tuesday against Barcelona as the biggest game in the club's history coming up. Now, I thought I'd misheard, so I went back to him with it, and I think he seemed a bit perturbed that I'd gone back to him with it, but then sort of this was his response when I asked him about that.
Well, we've never been in this position in the Champions League before, and it's the best competition there is, so I think for obvious reasons, I think it's a massive game in our history and we need to approach it that way and we need the supporters to think that way. And we need to try and find some energy from somewhere that will elevate our performance to a level that we've not seen before this season, because I think that's the only way we'll get through. Yeah, it's a disappointment really for us because we've played Manchester City twice, once off extra time in the FA Cup the first time, and then today off the back of playing with 10 men, and I think we've gone into both pivotal cup ties, maybe not in our best place. That's no excuse. They were magnificent today and we weren't, but it's been a challenging period for us and we're still trying to battle our way through it.
Now, I can see where he's coming from and I get that he basically is trying to gee everyone up and be ready for that game after back-to-back matches. I mean, I also asked him, the second part of that answer was asked about the sort of fatigue maybe that was there, having played with 10 men on Wednesday and then going into this and then the quick turnaround from a Saturday night to a Tuesday night game. But, I mean, Newcastle obviously won the Carabao Cup last year, their first trophy in 70 years. They have won the league, albeit nearly 100 years ago, and they have won 3 FA Cups. So, I mean, where are you on this being Tuesday being the biggest game in Newcastle's history?
I will add a word in, and that's probably modern history, to be kind. to Eddie Howe. But I would also say modern history in Europe.
Yeah.
I think there are qualifiers to what you say. It is a massive game, but in a European context, I would say that the Carabao Cup final was probably bigger than this. It's a round of 16 game in a knockout cup competition. Yes, it's against Barcelona. That's not to, you know, downgrade its importance. It is a massive game, and I think he is just trying to G everybody up. But it was a slightly strange choice of words to say the biggest game in the club's history.
It felt to me it was almost like a response to tonight to try and lift everyone again because of how, I mean, he even came and said himself, I've got no complaints about unfortunately the better side won tonight. He didn't use the word school, but basically they were schooled. And it felt to me like it's a right. We have to pick ourselves up, and for that, everyone has to realise how significant the game is. And in the context of the season now, it is massive because they're out of both domestic cups. They are going to go to Chelsea next weekend. Their record away from home in the Premier League is poor. Their record at Chelsea is abysmal. They then have Sunderland at home, having been so bad in the derby immediately preceding the international break. They sort of need a bit of a lift now, don't they, against what are top quality opposition.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what it is, Chris. He's just trying to lift everybody after the disappointment of this evening. And it is a massive game. I mean, it is genuinely huge, and this isn't normal. I keep saying this to people who maybe have fallen into the trap of taking for granted what Newcastle are achieving at the moment, or where they've positioned themselves, the fact that three domestic cup semi-finals in 4 years, winning a trophy, playing in Europe every year, qualifying for the Champions League twice in 3 years. But this isn't normal. You know, they've never reached the knockout rounds of the Champions League before in their history. So to put it into context, it is massive. And I think, you know, they could do something special in it. They could. But they're going to have to be a lot better than they were this evening, unfortunately. Barcelona are maybe not quite as good as Manchester City, but they're in that sort of tier of elite clubs, and Newcastle have come up short too often against the elite teams this season.
Including Barcelona on tight side. But I also think there's if you look at this game and the sort of how Newcastle go into it, at least if we're looking for small mercies, when they faced Man City in the two-legged semi-final in January, they'd come off the Bournemouth game in the FA Cup where they had extra time. At least tonight didn't go to extra time. They've had Wednesday, which took a lot out of them because it was 10 men for more than 45 minutes.
55 minutes was the total, probably almost an hour.
And then they've had to basically chase Man City around for about 50, 60 minutes tonight. So they will have a lot, and they're down the bare bones, but they will have Gordon back, hopefully. They will have Joe Linton in the starting line. If you just thought Byrne probably starts that game.
Yeah.
Livramento may even be in around and involved. How do you feel Newcastle can approach it and maybe get more from that game? Do you think they're going to have to go hell for leather from the start, like they did against Barcelona, but didn't score in that original game?
No, I mean, I think they'll try and start very fast and they'll try and get a goal, but I think they will probably learn lessons from that Carabao Cup semi-final defeat to Manchester City. I think they will know that you can't win it in the first leg, but
you've got to be in the game.
You've got to be in the game still. So I think it will probably be a bit more cagey. I wouldn't be surprised, actually, if they try and sit back a little bit more. It'll be a fast start, I would have thought, because that's always best to get the crowd into the game. And then it's just going to have to be a lot of grit and resilience and determination. Try and get a goal. Ideally, take a lead to the new camp. Or the Camp Nou, and just still be in it. Don't be 2-0 down, needing to win 3-0 away in Barcelona. So I think they'll just try and stay in the game. But I think it'll be a great occasion, and I think people should enjoy it, and I think people should remember this is special. Newcastle haven't got a great history of these sorts of fixtures, so enjoy it. And I hope the players do, and I hope the management do, and I just hope they give a brilliant account of themselves, because these games don't come around very often.
I agree, because it feels like the season is teetering, but that could still be an absolutely historic night, and Newcastle have to make sure it is to try and sort of salvage the remainder of this season now.
Yeah, and if I can end, I think we're coming to an end, are we, Chris? But yeah. On a positive note, you know, if it does hurt going out the FA Cup, of course it does, but it is going to free up some weekends. It is going to give them more time on the training ground. It is going to reduce the physical burden on this squad. And I think my hope is, and I think everybody's hope will be, that will assist them in the league, and that they can hopefully finish the league season really strongly and get back into the European qualification places. I know you said it's a 5-point gap, but there's still a lot of points still to play for, a lot of games. And Newcastle playing one game a week will be a completely different proposition to playing three times every 8 days.
There's 9 games remaining. you could argue possibly is this going to come too late that they have this extra training time. But I do take your point. It should assist them for the final seven matches after. They're actually going to go from a weird period having not had a week off to they're going to have the 2 week international break, and then they've got unless they get through in the Champions League. If they get through in the Champions League, they then play Barcelona, that midweek.
If they beat Barcelona, it's Atletico Madrid or Tottenham.
Well, John Anderson, before the game, live on BBC Newcastle, repeated for the nth time.
He's been saying it. It's easier for Newcastle to win the Champions League than it is the Premier League. And he does have a point, as much as it pains me to say.
No, he does. Anyway, Newcastle are unfortunately out of the FA Cup, but they do have what Eddie Howe has described as the biggest game in their history coming up on Tuesday night. It will be a famous occasion. Thank you very much to Luke Edwards. We will sign off, and fingers crossed, it is a very special night on Tuesday.
Well, there we have it. The FA Cup adventure comes to an end. If we'd made it through, then no doubt we would have drawn the Harlem Globetrotters away in the sixth round anyway. Pod on the Tyne will be back on Extra Time Match Day episode for the return of Barcelona and the Champions League on Tuesday. To listen to that, please subscribe at podonthetyne.supportcast.fm. Thanks again for listening. From everybody at Pod on the Tyne, take care. Goodbye.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.